I don't recognize, so my name is Michael Gellenbeck, and our family is serving as urban missionaries in Sacramento, California right now, and it's good to be back home. This was the platform I got married on, and we committed my father to heaven here, but what really makes this home is you all, and we are just grateful for every opportunity to see you today. And I want to talk about a subject that I'll just barely scratch the surface on today. Building a kingdom. And I want to start in Psalm 48, 1 through 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. In the 11th verse, it says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death." And the Lord just seemed like He really brought this home to me the past couple days about His kingdom, about Mount Zion. And I'm in the construction business. We build buildings. And what it takes to build a building is a vision. You have to have a plan. And as we think about building a kingdom, my heart goes to God, how do you want me to be applied to your kingdom? Because you've established this kingdom long ago, but yet we're young and now we're old, and you want us to be a part of your kingdom. And your kingdom is not meat and drink. It's not these buildings like Brother Ivan talked about, but it's every one of us doing the will of God. And so, in essence, we are building the kingdom. God has established it, but yet, what do people see? They don't say, "Lo here" or "Lo there" is the kingdom, but they see it revealed in our lives. And so, we are, in essence, building the kingdom of God in our generation, that we may tell it to the generation following, that there is something real that God can give each one of us. There is a difference in life that we can have. And so, the vision that we have today is, God, I want to know the depth of your kingdom. You said that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed that is just so small, but yet it inhabits so many things. And sometimes we can put the kingdom of God in a box. And I said, we're barely going to scratch the surface. We are, because the kingdom of God is everything. It is the kingdom of heaven. It involves God. And so we want to ask God, God, I don't want to put your kingdom in a box where I say, okay, here it is. This is it. But I want it to be revealed in me. I want to have just a taste of the vision that you have for your kingdom, that you have for my life, to glorify you and to be a part of your kingdom. So any kingdom, so I want to liken it to Mount Zion. It says, "Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following." There are structures to a kingdom. There's structures to a castle, to a palace. We're in the structure business. We build structures that people don't see the sticks that we put up, but yet it is the foundation. It is the structure that holds everything else up that makes it look beautiful. And so when Jesus came, I'm amazed at Jesus establishing his kingdom, and it's written in four gospels, and there's actually not a whole lot said. If you read the words of Jesus, how many words he actually said, and here he was establishing a kingdom. Can you really do that? But he said, "I'll write it in your hearts." So he's given us the structure here in the New Testament, in his Gospels. He laid it down. He gave us the vision. And now, just like he said, well, I'll liken it to a tree, and then we'll go back to a building. But Jesus is the foundation. He is the root system. And then he is the vine, we are the branches. And everyone bears fruit. And so the image that I want to paint in our minds today is that this structure that God has given us is like the root system, the foundation, and even part of the towers, the bulwarks, the edifices that hold up everything. But it's our job to beautify that thing. And we do it by the graces of God that He has given us. And so, if we just built a building in our company, we frame. There's someone else that lays the foundation, and we know who that foundation is. It's Jesus Christ. It's on the basis that His blood, His death, provided salvation for our souls so that we can build everything else in life on. And so then, when they lay the foundation with concrete, we start building our walls. And then we build our trusses and our beams. And we have this structure that a lot of thought and engineering and planning goes into. And then it gets all covered up. And nobody sees all the work that we did. They see the beautification of it. And so today, I want us to ask God, God, I want you to reveal in me the structure of your kingdom, what it means to be in your kingdom, and how you want me to beautify that. So in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, we touched on this scripture already, but just to lay the foundation here, we'll read it. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So that foundation, well, let's read the 10th verse above there. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So we have an obligation to build on the foundation that Jesus Christ has laid for us. And it says, take heed how we build thereon. You know, we can't just say, okay, I'm on the foundation that Jesus Christ laid. I am secure. There's nothing else I need to do in life. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm God's creation here and His child. No. It says, take heed how we build. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. And it says in 1 John 4 that He might destroy the works of the devil. We don't live to sin anymore. We live to righteousness because we have a plan. We have a purpose to glorify God in everything that we do. So when we take heed to build thereon, we don't say, I've done this work and I'm done in my life. But I've done this work, and Lord, now the foundation is laid. I'm going to build something that will glorify You. I'm going to produce that fruit. I'm going to beautify my life, not with my works, but with Your works, with the things that You laid in this Word, so that I can bring glory to You in this generation. Let's read in Romans 9 and 33. "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." You know, I just did a word search on Zion. And in the Old Testament, Zion is referred to as a place, as Jerusalem. In the New Testament, you can't find that. It talks about Zion, or a lot of times in the New Testament, it's spelled S-I-O-N. And then it also talks about the New Jerusalem. Zion is no longer the physical place over there. In different places, we can refer to some of these. Galatians 4 and 26, it says Jerusalem, which is from above. Hebrews 12 and 22, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. This is what the New Testament is referring to. It's not referring to a physical place anymore like the Old Testament was. The Old Testament was type and shadows. It was prophecies. And it was wrapped in a little bit of a shadow, of a shroud. But now, light has come. And it's no longer something that we can say, lo here or lo there. But the kingdom of God is within you. Thank God for this. I want to a little bit more about the structure of the kingdom before we move on. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I read these scriptures just to provide us a little bit of structure to what our spiritual life should look like. These are things we add to, just like we start laying out the bottom plate. We start adding the studs, we start adding the floors, and we add the roof. This is what we do to our life. We add these elements of structure to our life. And just like in our business, every vision in life has to have a plan. And so we have these core values in our business that we talk about. It's integrity, it's family matters, it's Christ is the center, all these things. We have to have core values in our life as well. These, and every core value we should have, whether it's business or personal life, should be rooted in Scripture. And so we try to do that, even in our business. We say, Lord, I don't want to just serve you in name only. I don't want to come to church on Sunday and proclaim the name of the Lord, and then my business isn't rooted in these same values. Everything good comes from God. Everything bad comes from the enemy. The Son of God has manifested that He could destroy the works of the enemy. You know, it can be that way in our personal life, in our business. In every action we have, every interaction we have with people, it should be on these core values, this structure. And, well, I might get ahead of myself, but what's so beautiful about having this structure is that God beautifies these things. He gives us real-life examples of saying, boy, God's way is the right way to do it. Oh, man. It's just wonderful to see the blessing of God. It says, the blessing of God maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. You know, there was something in our business just lately that didn't seem like there was any way possible. And we strive to do our business God's way and to treat people with respect and to honor people, to give them our integrity. And there was just something that was reciprocated to us because of the trust that people had in our business. It wasn't me, it was the business. We have a lot of really good men that work for us that have latched on to these core values. And it is just beautiful to see the Lord's blessing come back, because sometimes we all get in trouble. There's times in life where we need mercy. And if we show mercy, we'll get mercy. Isn't that simple? But that's a value of living for the Lord. Because people that live selfishly, that live to themselves, that take every advantage to better themselves, to don't leave anything on the table. You know, those are hard people to do business with again. But when we do it God's way and we want to be fair and we don't want to take advantage, it's easy to do business with those type of people, right? That's just a real life example that we can have of doing it by the structure through the kingdom that He has designed. When we do it His way, we get those benefits, right? So, the world today likes to laugh at the structure of the kingdom of God, of the structure that Jesus laid down, and it doesn't make sense to them, but yet it is our life. I think of the psalmist David. He loved the Word of God. He loved His kingdom. He loved the structure of what the kingdom brought, of His laws in Psalm 119. If you read Psalm 119, all through that, he is declaring a love for God's law. There's a lot of people that kind of reject at the idea of God's law. Well, you look at the world today, just in general, everywhere, people hate to be tied down by laws and principles. They say, well, does that really matter? Well, let me just read to you a little bit of what David wrote. And this is the attitude that we have for the structure that God created. Psalm 119 and 41, I'll just read this little sub-psalm in Psalm 119. Let Thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even Thy salvation, according to Thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in Thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in Thy judgments. So shall I keep Thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek Thy precepts. In the world today, in their minds, that seems like bondage. How can you walk at liberty when you're seeking God's precepts? But yet, it is our freedom to be able to walk in God's law. I will speak of Thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in Thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto Thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in Thy statutes. You see David, his heart for loving God's commandments. He found that that's where his freedom is in God's commandments. You know, when we do it God's way, He saves us from so much heartache and bitterness and pain. When we are left to our own devices, we bring our mother to shame, we bring ourselves to shame. We cannot govern ourselves without the wonderful law of God. And these are the basis of His precepts, His holy Word of God. And we love it. We love to read on it. We love to meditate on it. We love to assimilate it into our lives. Lord, break it down so that I can understand what You're wanting me to do. Help me, Lord, to have the fruits of Your Spirit, the basic structure of everything else You want me to do in life. You know, if we can have this structure of honesty, of loving people, of putting others before ourselves. You know, those are items of structure that dictate the rest of our life. And they turn into everyday decisions and actions. that beautify the kingdom of God. We can be a part of this today. I just marvel at the idea of the kingdom of God, and it makes me feel very, very small when I read some of the things that Jesus wrote about the grain of mustard seed. Also in Mark 4 and 11, it says, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." You know, we have to have a heart that wants to see the kingdom of God, that wants it to be applied to our lives. That ground is our responsibility to break up our fallow ground, to let God put His seed and His rain of righteousness on our lives. That is our responsibility, to say, "God, all I see of your kingdom is this little seed over here." Sometimes I still ask myself, do I really understand the kingdom of God? I mean, it inhabits eternity, and yet He gives it to us. How can I understand all the kingdom of God? I don't know all of it, and we're just scratching the surface of it today. But He did lay down some structure for us, and that's what I want to get this morning, is that the principles of the Word of God is our life. It's what we enslave ourselves to through love. It's not a forced coercion. It's not a kingdom that demands these things, but it is demanded because we just love Him, because of what He did for us, because of the salvation He brought to our souls and the freedom from guilt and sin and slavery. Let no one ever tell you that the kingdom of God is just to say some words and then you're in it. It, for the purpose that God came, was to destroy the works of the devil. It's to give us the ability to build the kingdom in our life, and so that others can see it. Let's read in 1 Peter 2 and 5 and 12. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.' Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Unto you. We could just preach a message about that. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word of God, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is our purpose." He's chosen us. He's given us these options, that we show forth the praises. And we don't just declare it with our mouth. We do that too. But we show it by the example of Him bringing us out of darkness into His marvelous light. "Which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." That's an instruction we have, that we abstain from these things that are knocking us off course, that are distorting the vision that God has for our lives. We abstain from these things in the world that taint our testimony, that say there's no real power. There is real power when we give ourselves completely to God. And He does give us the ability to live above those fleshly lusts that war against our soul. This is part of the spiritual building that God has created for us. We're built up a spiritual house. It's on Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. But we're not just islands out here. Yes, the Lord wants us to build our own spiritual house, but it is part of the kingdom of God. And He wants there to be a people whose heart is completely committed to God, who loves His law, who people can come to. You know, I call this congregation home. It's been my home for a long time. It should be that way. God designed it this way in the New Testament for there to be congregations and people that come together for the sole purpose of building the kingdom. And we build it individually in our lives, but when we all work together in that unity, it's part of the beautiful kingdom of God that He wants to establish here in our hearts, and let it be a testimony in this earth of what the foundation, the basis of it is in heaven. It's not based here, but it's in heaven, but it's alive and working well today in our lives. In Revelation 3 and 12, it says, "He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. That's a beautiful promise that we don't have to live by the old name that people knew us by. But he will write it. Not we ourselves. It's not our own works. But it's His works. And He will write His name. He will give us a new name. He gave Saul a new name. Paul. He told Peter he had another name for him. You know, He has a new name for us too. We don't have to live to those old paths, those old bondages that we had before. It says, "He that overcometh, he that overcomes sin, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God." The first set of verses we read was about the walls and bulwarks. You know, we can be a part of that today. We can be a pillar in the temple of our God. And it is part of that glorious city that comes down out of heaven. So if it comes down out of heaven into our hearts, and we have it in our hearts, we will be up there when we die. Thank God that we can just have a little taste of the kingdom here on this earth. And we will be secure in heaven. Our testimony will be sure. It says, "If you do these things, you shall never fall." This is the structure that God wants to build our life on. So, let's go back here to Psalm 48. So it says, "Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following." That's my intent, to tell it to the generation following. Yeah. I've had it told to me. I've had it shown to me by example. And I intend to give it to my children and to not leave any stone unturned in seeking truth and seeking God's Spirit in my life, and seeking His will to be done in my life. You know, it's one thing to say, I'll just do whatever God wants me to do. But it's another thing to just try to do it in practice. God, I don't want to be held back by my own flesh or by my own embarrassment or by my own lack of knowledge. But I know that you can give me the strength to do things that I don't think I could do. And He can do that. And that's the testimony that we give. If we just give a shallow testimony, yeah, I committed my life to Christ, but there's no real action and there's no real change, what kind of testimony is that to the next generation? There is a testimony that we can give our children and our next generation that says, yes, these principles are true, and here are the examples of it. And this is just the reason why we serve the Lord today. We're just barely scratching the surface of it. All we're doing here is just giving us a little taste of what the kingdom can be in our lives. And our homework is to dig and to find it and to say, God, I want your kingdom to be revealed in my life. I want to declare your glory in this earth. No matter where I go, no matter who I'm standing in front of, I want to declare your name. I want to declare what you do for me. It is beautiful to see that done in our world today. And it's very rare that it happens, but it is beautiful when we see that, isn't it? So the last verse says, for this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. This is not a commitment that is just a once and done commitment or something that we decide to try, but it is a lifelong commitment. It is a life-changing commitment, and it is something that will define our life in such greater terms than we could have ever thought if we would have lived it to ourselves. So we can be a part of this kingdom today. We can build the kingdom in our generation where people can see a testimony of it. And don't mistake me. I know where the kingdom is. But yet, it's our testimony that will change the world. And we want God to be revealed that strongly in our hearts that we can change our world around us. Because His kingdom is alive and well. It's not a dead kingdom. It's not something that has walls that are broken down and old and in repair, disrepair. But it is something that is alive and well. That's what it can be in our lives. You pray for me.